05 next, please.
Amend marijuana business regulations to implement the social equity program.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, as the commissioner in charge of the Office of Community and Civic Life, I oversee the cannabis program. And I'm really proud of the improvements we've made since 2017 and pleased to bring forward a package of code changes that will further that good work. The changes before us today represent a handful of common sense measures we can take to support our local industry with a special focus on addressing communities harmed by cannabis prohibition and on our ability to support micro and small businesses. I'll have more to say in my closing, so I'm going to turn it over to staff from the cannabis program, Brandon Goldner and Jeffrey Van Kent. Please come forward, who will walk us through these proposed changes. After they're done, I'll invite our four invited speakers to the testimony table. We have asked our staff to condense the presentation in order to take a vote by or before 11 a.m. Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Udaly, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish, thank you all for your time today. I appreciate it. As you said, in the interest of time, I'll keep my comments brief. Just a brief overview of where our program is now, where it was and where it's going, and then Jeffrey will get into the substantive changes of the ordinance that we have here today. Can you go back one slide?
Sure.
So, you know, back in 2015, when the program was established, then Mayor Hales made very clear these regulations ought to adapt and change as we learn more. He was absolutely right. So today's changes reflect an important and a needed step, but just one step in that ongoing adaptation and change. I think it's fair to say there's a lot of uncertainty, both in Portland and Oregon and other states that have regulated cannabis, about what the impacts may be. And I think it's incumbent upon us to constantly be evaluating what we could do to make sure that we're doing as good of a job as we can, especially for small businesses and for those impacted by cannabis prohibition. And that's the intent of the changes today.
Next slide.
And again, just to reiterate that the work that we have is not done. These changes today will allow us to gather data to make changes moving forward. They're going to allow us to see exactly how many businesses, cannabis businesses in Portland, are small businesses, how many owners and staff may be impacted by cannabis prohibition, and will provide relief right now in the short term while positioning ourselves for more changes in the future. You know, I think the goal here was pretty simple. It was to bring forward changes that were needed, but prudent steps to kind of move ourselves in the right direction. The financial impact of these changes, we know that our program can absorb those costs. And just to briefly speak to a couple things in the future, there will be an independent market study done of Portland's cannabis industry to better calibrate our fee schedule to make sure we're not taking in more money than we need. The public advisory body for cannabis policy here in Portland will restart in 2019. And other things are coming, too, that we're excited about. But for the changes today, I'm now going to leave it to Jeffrey Van Kent, who will briefly walk you through the specifics of the ordinance that you're considering today. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. Again, it's Jeffrey Van Kent, program specialist for a cannabis program. So recognizing our time limitations today, I was going to get all wonky on you, but I'm not going to do that. So instead, I'm just going to go over the six key amendments that we have. And then after I give those summaries, I'm happy to answer any questions about the specifics of those changes. So the first one here, the licensing fee reductions. This is going to be a fee reduction across the board for all license types to provide some sort of financial relief for the industry. But then we also are providing targeted financial relief specifically to those license types that are associated with smaller businesses and are seen as an entry point for certain businesses in the cannabis industry. The next element of the code change is going to be the deferred payment plan. So recognizing that many of our applicants are paying both state and local licensing fees within weeks, if not days, of one another, we'll be offering an option for licensees to pay for the bulk of their license fees six months after license issuance in order to allow that offsetting of state and local fees. The next key amendment that we are proposing is a social equity program. Now, this is a new program that we're very excited about. It's specifically providing financial assistance to small businesses and those cannabis businesses that are either owned or staffed by individuals with prior cannabis convictions. Those businesses will receive either simply fee reductions for all license types, and additionally, processors and producers will receive reimbursements in the form of a credit towards their license fees for any costs incurred at Bureau of Development Services for early assistance meetings. So these are meetings that help kind of streamline the building permitting processes for these businesses. The next two elements that we have are our permitting requirement changes within our own code, and as well as our permitting enforcement procedures. Now, both of these are simply ways of streamlining our licensing process, while at the same time making sure that our building permit requirements within our code more closely reflect the higher risk profile of certain process types, specifically extract processors, while also providing some relief in the form of a streamlined process for all of their processors and producers. The permitting enforcement procedures that we've changed are simply to make sure that our applicants that have any sort of compliance issues with building or fire code are actually working with those bureaus rather than working in tangent with Civic Life so that they can have a more streamlined communication with the expert agencies. And finally, the last element of the code change that we're proposing would be an addition of a micro-tier processor endorsement. Now, what this does is it's mirroring an endorsement that already exists and is available at the state level. The difference is that the code change will allow us now to provide this endorsement without requiring applicants to pay for an entirely new license at the local level. So, again, mirroring something that's already available at the state for micro-tier producers and making it available here at the local level at no cost to the applicants. And so with that very brief summary, I'm happy to open to any questions about the specifics of any of these and have some slides I can definitely go into if you have any specific questions. Thank you very much.
I'm a little sad that you all don't get to see that entire presentation because it was quite lovely. Any questions? Okay. Thank you, Brandon and Jeffrey. Now I'm going to call up our invited speakers. Jeanette Ward from New Leaf, Adam Smith from Craft Cannabis Alliance, Takara Shaw from Green Hop, and Casey Houlihan from Oregon Cannabis Retailers Association. If you could state your name for the record and try to limit your remarks to about 3 minutes, since we're trying to get to this vote. We need a quorum of four people here to pass an emergency item.
Great.
And we're going to lose it at 11.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Jeanette Ward, and I am from New Leaf. And I just want to start by saying thank you. So New Leaf is an organization that takes the tax dollars that the city of Portland voted on in November 2016 to fund into the communities most disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs. So we are an organization started because of that. I said I wasn't going to get emotional, but I'm not going to make it. I wrote the language that the city voted on. This is super close to my heart, and I'm so appreciative of the work you guys continue to make here in partnership with the community. So thank you. This amendment, clearly I'm in favor of. I'm in favor of these changes. This is a critical second part of that work, so you have to invest the tax dollars back into the communities that were economically disadvantaged. You have to do that as step one. This equity program that helps reduce the licensing fees is step two, because then you have the opportunity for people who are small businesses across the board, but that's always going to be almost always a place where businesses of color start. They start undercapitalized. They start without the networks and the resources. So when you lower the bar here to make it just more level for everyone, and I mean lower the bar by lowering the financial bar. That's the bar I'm talking about. And then everyone can play. You really are doing the right thing. And this is super thoughtful legislation that is just going to create more innovation from these small businesses. That's where that's going to come from. That's where you're going to see just the real advancements. And I think a cannabis market in Oregon that's going to outpace the others, because it's going to take advantage of that diversity. So I think it's a great start, and I think it's a really comprehensive, thoughtful approach.
Thank you.
Yes. Hi, my name is Takara Shaw. I'm also known as Miss Oregon. I work in the cannabis industry. I actually run my own company called Ambit. I do social communication development for different employers here in Portland, and I'm hired by GreenHop to help train their employees and also doing community engagement. I get 3 minutes, so I've picked 3 points that I feel are important for me to address at this time. I also want to say thank you guys for having me here. I know a couple of you a little more in depth, and I really like you guys, and I like what you guys are doing for our community, so good job, guys. These policies are definitely moving in the right way. The first policy I want to bring up is what Jeffrey and Brandon, one of the policies they were talking about is the fee changes. I just want to emphasize like how important that fee change is. As of right now, I want to put a personal aspect on that. As I said, I'm helping the Green Hop, which is a dispensary here in Portland, a minority-owned business. What we're seeing by these fees cuts, we recently just paid some fees, as you guys know. These fees are so high that we've literally had to stop ordering product, which is going to reduce our customer base and basically can make us look like we're not as not on the same tier as all the other dispensaries because we don't have the financial backing as everyone else. These fees across the board are the same no matter, as of right now, they're the same no matter the financial backing for these dispensaries. So taking a look at this is going to help us. So I just want to say thank you guys for noticing that because it does hurt everything from employee schedules to ordering products in the store to the lights. So thank you very much for taking notice on that. And I just want to say I'm definitely in favor of that. I also want to say, as we're developing some things on here, something that's important to me, as I've said before, is social communication development. I feel like if we make sure that in these policies we're also having diversity trainings and communication trainings for the owners, I think that that's going to be really, really important with community engagement and reaching everybody. Because the more people of color that we do get involved on these new boards that are coming up and things of that nature, the easier it will be for everyone to know the best ways to reach everyone. Because trying to just have one brain or two brains say everything, you know, can be difficult. So actually having people who are engaging in these fields that are of color, being a part of the boards and having a say so and the new upcoming policy changes, I think, is going to be important for this path. I also want to say the reason why I think that that's important, I believe that empowering people of color to be a part of the things and changes that's going on with these policies, I think that's going to empower our communities. And when you find that people are feeling empowered and feeling like they are on the same scale as everyone else, you'll see a lot more community engagement benefits where the community is being engaged, as well as lower crime rates. People that are empowered definitely are less likely to commit crimes and do things like that. So I definitely want to say that that's important. And then last but not least, I would like to say that just keep it on the path of making sure that we're getting people with convictions in their backgrounds. Let's make sure we're getting that erased, especially these business owners. Even my own personal experience, I, as of right now, have literally was, I have something in my background over a crumb of marijuana that was found in a purse like 10 years ago, literally the crumb, not a smokable amount at all, but it is on my background, and I'm a business owner. And as a professional, every time my background's looked up, I don't want anything that's going to, you know, fault by me or make me look less than what I am or what I'm capable of for this city. So even personal recommendations of who, letting the city know who's being issued the money to erase these things. I understand you guys are making these changes, but really making sure the information getting put out there to the city of who they can contact to move forward. I think that's going to be a really big step. Mr. Saltzman, are you still with us? Awesome. I think that that's really important there because I know a lot of stuff is going, but the information on how to receive it, I would like to see that being able to reach the people on how to get the information so we can keep moving forward.
Great. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. My name is Adam Smith. I'm the founder and executive director of the Craft Cannabis Alliance. We are a mission-driven trade association. Our members are cannabis companies that are majority Oregon-owned. that have made a commitment to sustainability, ethical business and employment practices, positive community engagement, and social justice. When Oregon legalized cannabis, we legalized the industry we had. Specifically, the state reached out with a targeted advertising and PR campaign to existing producers and urged them to go legal. Note that the campaign didn't say, bring your corporate dollars to Oregon and buy a farm or buy a brand. We understood that Oregon had and has had for generations a local artisan cannabis community serving both medical and recreational markets here and, let's be honest, for export. That existing industry, is important to know, has long been producing some of the best cannabis and cannabis products found anywhere in the world. And Oregon cannabis already has a global reputation for that. This instinct to legitimize and support an industry deeply engaged in Oregon's culture and economy was a good one. And thousands of Oregon producers did just that. They went legal, investing hundreds of millions of dollars of their own and their friends and family's money, putting up homes, maxing out credit cards to participate in Oregon's new legal marketplace. And they plugged along through multitudinous rules changes and regulatory tweaks. They plugged along as state and local officials did their best, and in some isolated cases their worst, to navigate the uncharted waters of an industry being brought out into the light of day. And they have plugged along even now as oversupply and crashing prices have put those hundreds of millions of local dollars of capital at imminent risk and made grim the calculus for those looking to enter the market. And let me reemphasize that this is not like Nike's local capital that we're talking about or Intel's local capital. These are thousands of growers and producers and small business owners and local investors, and they are, for the most part, all in on this industry. And so what Portland is doing today is visionary, and it represents a lot more than simply lowering fees and easing entry into the legal market. What Portland is doing is recognizing that the history, and if we are smart, the best possible future of the Oregon cannabis industry will be born out of the small and the local, and all of the artisanship and biodiversity and care and dedication and community enrichment that that entails. Because the Oregon cannabis industry, at its world-class best, reflects the Oregon brand. And that brand, worth tens of billions of dollars worldwide, is the same whether we are talking about beer or wine or distilling or food or anything else. That Oregon brand is authenticity. It is people with their hands in the dirt making something they love as well as they possibly can for themselves and their friends and to share with others who love it too. Today we are in danger of losing the Oregon cannabis brand, losing ownership of the Oregon cannabis brand. The economic crisis of crashing prices and non-existent margins means that hundreds of businesses that should be viable and thriving are at risk, and others are being forced to sell out for pennies on the dollar to large out-of-state and multinational corporations. And those deep-pocketed foreign corporations are not here expecting to get rich selling cannabis to Oregonians. They're here to capitalize on the eventual export market and ownership of that Oregon brand. So to Portland today, I say yes. Please reduce the cost of setting up and doing business in the city. Please support the efforts of businesses owned by individuals and members of community who have been disproportionately impacted by 80 years of failed prohibition. This is extremely important. But also I challenge you to look further, as I know you will, and to expand your vision of an industry of, by, and for Oregon, one that claims its place as a global center of world-class cannabis. Portland shines brightest when it's bringing the best of Oregon to the world. So stand up for social consumption so that cannabis lovers everywhere can visit Portland and learn what is so special about Oregon cannabis and spread our fame and our brand. And stand up for the burgeoning efforts to move towards legal interstate export while there's still a local industry to capitalize and participate in that multi-billion dollar market. Today, Portland is taking responsibility for leadership and supporting everything that is great, good, and valuable about Oregon cannabis and the potential of this industry. And with your continued leadership, we can have the kind of industry here that Portlanders and Oregonians and cannabis lovers everywhere deserve and can be proud of. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Casey here?
Casey.
Right. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Casey Houlihan, and I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Retailers of Cannabis Association, as which I serve as the executive director. Our association represents over 300 cannabis businesses across the state of Oregon, many of whom are located within the city of Portland and are directly subject to the policies created by the city and the Office of Community and Civic Life.
So what do we do?
Our members include retailers, producers, wholesalers, processors, and several types of ancillary businesses operating in Oregon's fastest-growing economic sector. I'll keep my comments here brief today since I know we're under a time pressure, but we are here today to express our support for the changes to city code being proposed. This package of proposed changes will go a long way towards establishing a more fair and equitable business environment for folks in the cannabis industry, and it should make it easier and less time-consuming for folks to become licensed and start operating safely. We strongly urge the move by the city to bring the retail license fees in line with the other license types. By reducing the cost associated with getting these businesses online, we lower several of the barriers to entry that prevent smaller businesses from successfully entering and competing in this space. This will help prevent moneyed out-of-state business interests from effectively monopolizing the industry and pushing out the mom-and-pop businesses in the process. Additionally, the creation of the social equity program should help provide meaningful and tangible benefits to the folks who have been most directly harmed by cannabis prohibition. This can help assure that people who've suffered the greatest harm from the criminalization of cannabis are not precluded from participating in and benefiting from the economic growth and limitless opportunities that we see in the cannabis industry today. This is an area where the city of Portland has been an incredible leader, both statewide and nationally, in driving the conversation about how to implement legalization the right way, and not in a way that perpetuates the damage done to historically marginalized communities by our government's war on drugs in the first place. Our state government thus far has lacked the capacity in the legislature to create this type of program aimed at achieving the broader goals of social justice and a more fair and equitable industry. That's why it's so critically important that the city proceed with these changes so we can be a model for other municipalities that follow. I also wanted to say thank you to Commissioner Udaly and the folks in the Office of Community and Civic Life for all of their hard work in the City of Portland's cannabis program, for taking input from stakeholders on these important issues, especially in the course of the last several months. We thank you for your time and your focus on these important issues.
Thank you. And I'm very sorry to rush everyone through their testimony and presentations. Takara, I wanted to address the expungement issue that you brought up. City of Portland funded Metropolitan Public Defender, to do expungements. It's my opinion that the state should be paying for those expungements, and it should happen statewide, and it should happen as soon as possible. I have three very slight amendments to offer, simply to clarify the code language, and these were offered by the Bureau of Development Services in order to just distinguish who's responsible for what. So amendment number one is replace all instances of the word reductions with the word credit. Amendment number two is to replace all instances of the word reimbursement with the word credit. And amendment number three is add language as 2C and 3C that states requests for credit should be directed to the Office of Community and Civic Life. All such credits will be deducted from the marijuana regulatory license fees.
Is there a second on the technical amendments on the package? Great.
Second.
Thank you.
Commissioner Daly moves the technical amendments. Commissioner Fish seconds them.
I just want to add that we'll need to get the final language to the attorney because we missed a couple instances of the word reduction. But
correct.
Fine.
These are the amendments.
Yeah, the direction's clear. Thank you.
All right. I think it's time for public testimony.
Oh, that ends your presentation. Very
yes.
good. Public testimony,
you,
Carla?
Everyone.
How many people
yes,
do
we
have signed up?
Yes, three people signed
Very
up.
Very good. Come
Jedrick
on up.
Jay Wilkins, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and Leland Berger.
Okay, and I'm going to ask politely that we do 2 minutes just because I want to make sure we vote on this in the next item before Commissioner Fish has to move out before we lose our floor.
He doesn't have to be here?
He does. It's
okay.
An emergency.
Well, okay. I will tell you why.
I'll be generous.
2 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Shedrick, I will tell you this.
Thank you.
My daughter is a cancer survivor and smokes medical marijuana. In July 18th, I came in here and said my daughter faces homelessness. I can do nothing to help her. And I told the mayor about this. I just got an email from the – I don't pay for the library. I don't know if the city council likes the library. I get free email things at the library through Yahoo. I don't know if the city gives equipment or not funding to the library, but this doesn't cost me anything. I just found out my daughter's on SSI. Which means she gets $6,000 a year, right? I cannot help my daughter, even though Commissioner Fish is the only person to know I'm at Yards, which is HUD. Because HUD says that marijuana itself has THC, I can smoke in the building, and if I let my daughter stay there 2 days a week, which I'm allowed to have a guest, right? No woman's going to come in there. She'll want to stay seven. Also, I don't want anybody in my apartment running my heater. I have an electric blanket, which I talked to the mayor when he was running for mayor. I have an electric blanket, right? All right. Why heat up a whole room and just... Okay, never mind. Anyway, I am subsidized because I'm over 55 and a veteran. That's why I wear this hat. I get $7,000 a year from the government. Right? I only pay rent of $1,000. But I wish I was young. But anyway, the real truth is I won't risk my $7,000 federal, and the federal government does not acknowledge marijuana. It is a drug. Even though 10 states do, and I can't even have medical marijuana, although I did not inquire about that. I won't risk it. Another thing, my daughter could smoke in the building, and she likes to smoke it. Right? And she could smoke it when I'm not there. I won't get evicted, and I won't risk my $7,000, but she now gets $6,000. Her cancer treatment when she was one, she's now 21, was not done properly. She was cured by chemotherapy. That's all I can say. There are other treatments, and I asked Commissioner Fish, she was cured by chemotherapy. I am not a great fan of radiation therapy. That's why I want to talk, and I'm very happy she's on SSI. She will not starve, and I'll buy her a tent, and she can sleep out here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
My name is Leland Berger. I'm a lawyer. I'm 62 years old. I've been practicing for 35 years, and I've been a cannabis law reform advocate for the last 25 years, and I'm undercover today. That's why I'm dressed this way. My law firm, along with the Seoul District, which is the business district where I work, had applied for the grant that the public defender got for the expungements, and I wanted to speak to that, but first I wanted on page 5 to speak to the requirement that the fire marshal office have issued the necessary permits for the processing. I know this is an issue at the state level, and that I know that the city's fire marshal appeared at the Rules Advisory Committee, but I don't know that that's been resolved, and I don't know that the thing that you're requiring the fire marshal to do is something the fire marshal can do. Of greater concern to me, because, you know, again, I've been working on these issues. I helped write the medical law. I helped write the adult use law. I lobbied at the legislature each session as a citizen activist. I've appeared here before on various matters. I don't understand an equity program to have to do with prior convictions, particularly when, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Commissioner Udaly, but the effect of the cities having said, you know, we're going to take some of this 3% money and we're going to spend it on expungements is that there's an effort in the legislature this upcoming session to do what happened in Seattle this last week, where the mayor... the city attorney authorized the dismissal of the last 15 years worth of marijuana convictions. And I emailed District Attorney Underhill and Chief Criminal Judge Albright, and Chief Criminal Judge Albright wrote back that these kinds of things are under consideration in the legislature. And when Greenhop and Greenleaf speak to communities traditionally harmed by the racist war on drugs, that's the way the equity programs should read. That's the way the equity program reads in the city of Oakland. That's the way the law reads in the state and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I'm concerned that by tying it to prior convictions, when the legislature is looking at mass expungements, Senator Frederick is introducing legislation on this issue, that we're going to wind up in a situation in 6 months where we're going to have a equity program with that's meaningless and doesn't address these issues. The last thing I wanted to say is I do appreciate, I still think the fees are way too high. I think the city's application process is overregulation that's unnecessary. I've had clients that have gone to Eugene instead to open businesses because of the... It's not to say it's being administered poorly. I think Mr. Goldner is doing an excellent job. I've had terrific conversations with him in his office. But I do think the level of regulation is unnecessary. The fees are too high. I appreciate the reductions. I appreciate the effort to be able to pay it off slowly as lowering the entry point. But I just don't think it's enough. And I don't understand, frankly, why it's an emergency. I mean, it's just in the same way that I don't understand that the appointment of the Supreme Court nominees an emergency.
Let's do that after the public testimony. We'll get to your question. Very good. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, for the record.
You
think it's appropriate that you do go ahead. You know, emergency language is just kind of a formality to give us faster relief. Especially, it's actually better on this than most, because these, especially the minority businesses, the businesses employing people with criminal records, we'd like to see them get relief and aid as soon as possible to be able to implement this program. I think in the bigger context of a city that has the Black Male Achievement Initiative and stuff like that, we just need to make sure that equal time is going in to assisting especially impacted communities to be able to get into real estate and banking and everything else. We don't want to say, oh, because this was a business that thrived in some marginalized communities, we're going to create extra opportunities here. They should be following in the footsteps of the mayor and going to Stanford. And actually, those things can blend. Oregon cannabis is a legal, thriving business, so there will need to be MBAs and professionals, and as the federal government comes to its census, normal financial channels available. But just pass this as an emergency, but also make sure that you're looking at the bigger picture, pushing the state legislature to expunge all past marijuana-related crimes and be able to, so that barriers are open to people go into other fields as well, healthcare, everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Lightning with a super creativity disruptor attack dog. I don't smoke marijuana, and I'll make that very clear right now. But I was one of the individuals fighting for the rights of the cannabis industry to have your permit at the waterfront park to explain your position. And I am in support of legalization of marijuana. I have some issues here. I think everyone up here sitting up in front of me is doing nothing but looking at the tax dollars and the fees. Now, you have agreed to reduce the fees. I'm asking for zero fees for the cannabis industry, zero taxation on the cannabis industry. The reason is we're going to see it. We already are seeing a saturated market. The city's position is strictly to make fees and taxes, and their position needs to come back and subsidize this industry, not set up the entrepreneurs for failure, which you know you're doing. You know you're doing, because we're in a saturated market. Subsidize this industry like we do the farmers. Like we do the farmers. Zero fees, zero taxes, and maintain the survival of all these people that have put their money in this industry hoping to live a better life, and you knowing you've allowed it to become saturated, and the big players will come in and buy all these people out, and they don't have a chance to survive. Zero fees, zero taxes, and protect the interest of these entrepreneurs that have invested in this industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So any further? Commissioner Udaly wanted to comment
I'm
leaving. I've
okay.
got to leave.
Okay.
And so furthermore, Mayor, I was going to ask you to suspend the rules and allow me to vote first on each item because Commissioner Udaly will want to give a closing remarks.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I don't want to be just disrespectful to her.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't we do that? You can answer the question in
sure.
context.
Perfect.
Please call the roll on the amendment.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Amendment's adopted. Please call the roll with Commissioner Fish first to the main motion.
Fish?
I'm very pleased to support this good work, Commissioner Udaly, and your newly branded bureau. Congratulations for your good work. It seems thoughtful. It seems responsive to community concerns. And frankly, that was one of the most powerful panels that I've witnessed in a long time of key stakeholders coming and thanking government for listening and being responsive and accountable. So I think we're on a better path, and I look forward to following your lead. Aye.
Thanks. Saltzman?
I also appreciate Commissioner Udaly's leadership on this and the Office of Civic Life, too. Aye.
Udaly?
I just want to thank Commissioner Fish for bearing with us. We went quite a bit over time with this item. First of all, to Mr. Lightning's comments, we can't charge zero fees because we have no way to fund the cannabis office and then no way to serve cannabis businesses, so that's out of the question.
As far as why we focused on expungement, other than, I guess, other indicators, it's because it's actually a measurable way to address communities who were disproportionately impacted, because we know the law has been, unevenly applied to communities of colors, and color in particular, the African American community. And I don't believe that a change at the state level would prevent us from continuing with this program. If it does, we'll address it when it happens. But my understanding is individuals receive a certificate of expungement, so they could still demonstrate to us that they had a prior conviction, that they have been impacted for this number of years up until the expungement, and that they do, in fact, still qualify for the program. It is undeniable that we have historically created discriminatory public policy that has disproportionate, seems like not strong enough a word, impacted communities of color. And as Jeanette spoke to, code changes might sound really boring, but it's a big deal. And I'm really pleased to be able to advance any kind of remedy. This is not enough, and we're not done. But I think it's an important and meaningful step in the right direction. The cannabis industry offers us the opportunity to both support small businesses and restorative justice efforts, which is why this will continue being a priority for the cannabis program moving forward. As our presenters have shared today, there's an incredible opportunity for Portland to work with community partners and the industry to create an ethical and sustainable world-class industry. And I'm really committed to supporting our local businesses. That is a high priority for me as well. In order to ensure this, the cannabis program has a responsibility to constantly evaluate its practices and policies to ensure it is advancing that vision. Our work is not done today, but I hope we've demonstrated our commitment to that vision by ensuring fairness for retailers, by equalizing the cost of their licenses, streamlining our permitting requirements, incentivizing microbusinesses and the utilization of women, minority, and small business contractors, and creating additional relief for small businesses and owners who hire employees with cannabis-related convictions or themselves have such convictions. I look forward to gathering more data in the coming months and working with our many partners to bring additional policy solutions forward. I want to thank everyone who's worked with us so far, especially our presenters today. I want to congratulate Jeffrey on his first presentation to council and the successful completion of his first policy assignment in his new role as program specialist. And, of course, I want to thank Brandon Goldner and Winta Johannes from my office for their work to move this forward. And finally, I'll just say we asked for an emergency clause because voting on this as a non-emergency means that the final vote wouldn't happen until 2 weeks from now. And during that time, a number of businesses will have to pay these fees and would have to pay thousands of additional dollars. So passing it today means we're bringing immediate relief to those businesses. I obviously vote aye.
I think this is fantastic work, and I share my colleagues' respect for the people who have testified today on the panel. I think it was highly informative. Commissioner Udaly, I want to thank you and your team and all the good folks in the bureaus who worked so hard on this and all the people in the community who pulled this together. I am very happy to support this. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you, everyone.